Good morning, everybody. Affection as a motive. That he ought to work hard to please his parents who do so much for him is a proper motive to bring before the child from time to time, but not too often. If the mother trade on her child's feelings, if do this or that to please your mother, do not grieve your poor mother, etc., be brought too frequently before the child as the reason for right doing, a sentimental relation is set up which both parent and child will find embarrassing. The true motives of action will be obscured, and the child, unwilling to appear unloving, will end in being untrue. Attractiveness of knowledge. Of course, the most obvious means of quickening and holding the attention of children lies in the attractiveness of knowledge itself, and then the real appetite for knowledge with which they are endowed. But how successful faulty teachers are in curing children of any desire to know is to be seen in many schoolrooms. I shall later, however, have an opportunity for a few words on this subject. What is attention? It is evident that attention is no faculty of mind. Indeed, it is very doubtful how far the various operations of mind should be described as faculties at all. Attention is hardly even an operation of the mind, but is simply the act by which the whole mental force is applied to the subject in hand. This act of bringing the whole mind to bear may be trained into a habit at the will of the parent or teacher who attracts and holds the child's attention by means of sufficient motive. Self-compelled. As the child gets older, he is taught to bring his own will to bear, to make himself attention in spite of the most inviting suggestions from without. He should be taught to feel a certain triumph in compelling himself to fix his thoughts. Let him know what the real difficulty is, how it is the nature of his mind to be incessantly thinking, but how the thoughts, if left to themselves, will always run off from one thing to another, and that the struggle and the victory required of him is to fix his thoughts upon the task in hand. You have done your duty, with a look of sympathy from his mother, is a reward for the child who has made this effort in the strength of his growing will. But it cannot be too much borne in mind that attention is, to a great extent, the product of the educated mind. That is, one can only attend in proportion as one has the intellectual power of developing the topic. It is impossible to overstate the importance of this habit of attention. It is, to quote words of weight, within the reach of everyone and should be made the primary object of all mental discipline. For whatever the natural gifts of the child, it is only in so far as the habit of attention is cultivated in him that he is able to make use of them. The secret of overpressure. If it were only, as it saves wear and tear, a perpetual tussle between duty and inclination, it is worthwhile for a mother to lay herself out to secure that her child never does a lesson into which it does not put his heart. And that is no difficult undertaking. The thing is to be on the watch from the beginning against the formation of the contrary habit of inattention. A great deal has been said lately about overpressure, and we have glanced at one or two of the causes whose effects go by this name. But truly, one of the most fertile causes of an overdone brain is the failure in the habit of attention. I suppose we were all ready to admit that it is not the things we do, but the things we fail to do, which fatigue us with the sense of omission, with the worry of hurry in overtaking our tasks. And this is almost the only cause of failure in work in the case of a healthy schoolboy or girl. Wandering wits hinder a lesson from being fully taken in at the right moment. The lesson becomes a bugbear, continually wanted henceforth and never there. And the sense of loss tries the young scholar more than would the attentive reception of a dozen such lessons. The schoolboy's homework. In the matter of homework, the parent may still be of great use to their boys and girls after they begin to go to the day school. Not in helping them, that should not be necessary, but let us suppose a case Poor Annie does not finish her lessons till 9:30. She really has so much to do. Poor Tom is at his books till 10:00. We never see anything of the children in the evening, say the distressed parents, and they let their children go on in a course which is absolutely ruinous both to bodily health and brain power.